ask for y'all's prayers this evening. I want us to challenge us tonight to remember. As I was studying, I read a real short little psalm. And it struck me with this psalm that this psalm is all about remembering. And what struck me about it is it ties back to the key points in the Bible. This morning when Brother Michael was reading out of the Ten Commandments. Do y'all remember how the Ten Commandments start? It starts off with God stating that He was the Lord that brought them out of Egypt. He started the Ten Commandments not with a commandment, but with a remembrance. I'm talking to you, this is what I've done for you, so now I'm going to ask you to do something. But he started off with that remembrance. Here's why these Ten Commandments are going to be important to you. Because I am the person that gave you your salvation. So the chapter I want to read right now is Psalms 114, verses 1 through 8. That's the entire chapter. Starts off, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a strange people, from the people of a strange language, Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. The sea sought and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou, Jordan, that thou wast driven back? Ye mountains, that ye skipped like rams, and ye little hills like lambs. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Isn't that an encouraging little chapter? And sitting there looking at it, it struck me, what is that chapter telling us to do? It ends with, tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord. And what it related was things that could only have happened through the presence of the Lord. Brother Michael talking about supernatural. Starting there in the first verse, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Judah, Jacob, from a people of a strange language. How did they go out from Egypt? Did they just naturally schedule a date and time and get all their animals together and at their appointed time wave goodbye to the neighbors and headed out on their journey? Or had there been a series of events that had prevented them and the Lord working miraculously got to the point where the Egyptians told them, you get out now. The Lord wants us to remember that. I'm going to challenge us with something. Do you remember when you left Egypt? Do you take time to pause and think back to when you were in bondage? When you were struggling to be free? When you felt the weight of your sin on you? I don't know about you all, but I can think back. You know, it's been said before, there is some enjoyment in sin. But what about the quiet times? Late at night, early in the morning. When it's just you, your soul, and the good Lord. Do you remember how He worked with you? The miracles, if you will, that He did to convince you that you needed to get out of the land of Egypt? To move away from there? The house of Jacob from a people of a strange language. I thought about shortly after being saved. Did you find yourself suddenly not really able to communicate the same way with the people you'd been hanging around with? Their language and yours took a turn. the topics they wanted to talk about just did not make the same sense to you anymore? The things that they found so intriguing and so fascinating you didn't care for anymore? People of a strange language started separating. For myself, I started found that I didn't want to hang around with them. I had to separate from them. Moving down into the second verse. Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. What does that mean? Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. Who was Judah? Who was Israel? I looked at that and thought, Judah and Israel were people, just like you and me. Have we made God our sanctuary, allowed Him into our lives, said, Lord, I want to invite You in. I want You to set up Your sanctuary in my heart. I want You to have dominion over me. Do you remember those days? As you came out, as you moved out from sin. Then we get down into verse 3. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. Now, in the coming out of Egypt, the sea literally separated out for them. And then we have the Jordan was when they were coming on into the land of rest. It separated for them as well, didn't it? Did you feel like as you were coming out of sin that it was overwhelming, you weren't going to be able to make it, only to watch the Lord part things ahead of you? Allowing you to be able to do things you didn't know you would do, give you strength to face things? As a young man, I remember the first time I had to talk to a boss about not wearing a necktie. You know, when you're the only one in a huge company that does that, it can be pretty intimidating. You might not think it's that intimidating now, but when you face it, now you're having to explain why you're different. But the Lord will just part things. I've never had an issue with it. I've had some questions, but the Lord's blessed me to where I've never had an issue with that. Down in verse 4, the mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like little lambs. Now, what is this referring to? Do y'all remember in the trip out of Egypt where the mountains and hills skipped? Do y'all remember the story when the giving of the law was taking place? And the earthquakes and the fire on the mountains? What was happening? The Word of God was coming down to man. And the physical earth was reacting to that. Do you remember in your lives, as the Word started becoming more real to you? And I'm speaking from my own experience here. How the things that you thought were just so solid, the beliefs you held on to, they became shaky. Things suddenly started moving and understanding started changing. Sometimes it drove more questions. I think of the Israelites. They told Moses, tell God to stop talking to us. You go talk to Him and come back and tell us what He said. It can be a fearful time. But do you remember that? When the Lord truly started giving His Word to you, explaining His law to you, taking the time? I think about it, 40 days and 40 nights in that mountain. For 10 commandments, right? I think there was more to it than that. I think the Lord spent a lot of time really talking to Moses to explain to him and help him truly understand this is what it means. So you're going to have the letter of the law, but I want you to understand the intent of it as well. So there will be no mistaking what you bring back to those people. We have that in our lives. What about down here at 7 and 8? Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Remember the times in the desert where the Israelites talked about they were thirsty, nothing around? Moses even spoke ill-advisedly at one point, "Must I bring water out of this rock for you all?" But what happened? Water did come out of the rock, doesn't it? A life-giving stream. Have you ever been in your life, hit a dry spot, just could not see your way past it, couldn't see your way through it, just felt your soul shriveling up inside and just struggling to, "Lord, I don't feel alive." And then suddenly out of that dryness, the Lord says, "Well, let me share something with your soul. How about some water from right out of here?" Some verse that you've probably read 20, 30 times, but suddenly it just opens up and floods your soul. Y'all have had times like that? You remember those times? I talk about this as remembrance because do we share that with people? This psalm was written to share those experiences, to make sure that the children of Israel did not forget what had transpired. I'm going to share some statistics here. How many of y'all know about the Holocaust? Familiar with that? In a recent study done just last year, roughly 22% of the millennials had not heard of or did not think they had heard of the Holocaust. 22%. Either could absolutely say, "I've never heard of that," or "I don't think I've heard of that." 66% of those millennials did not know what Auschwitz was. What's happening to the remembrance? You know that there is a phrase called "never forget" that a lot of the Holocaust museums talk about, trying to make sure people don't forget the atrocities, the evil went down with that. Why are we forgetting? Do you know only 8 states have any requirements for teaching about the Holocaust? The other 42, no requirements. Eighty 80% of adults think it is necessary to teach about the Holocaust. Their reasoning, 56% feel it could happen again, and 52% think it could happen in the United States of America. Are we helping to prevent things by remembering them? Or are we being forgetful ourselves and not sharing what's going on? Thinking about just living for God. Some of you are grandparents in this room. Have you talked with your grandchildren about your coming out of Egypt? You're going through the desert. The times the Lord opened up the water of His Spirit to you. The happiness and joy as the law was opened up to your mind and you understood. I think of the two waters, the separation of the waters as you came out of Egypt, but also the separation of the Jordan as you went into sanctification and the rest that's available there. Have you shared that with your grandchildren? Parents, do you share that with your children? Do you help remember where you came from? I know it's, speaking definitely for myself here, it's not pretty. In some of the Holocaust survivors, it took them years before they were willing to share it. But then as they got older, some of them realized the necessity of talking about what is actually not very pretty. Of sharing what had actually happened so that folks would truly understand what needed to take place so that hatred wouldn't build to that level again. And one of the other things that I think is important for us to remember this is what it points to. This all points to Christ. Who helps us come out of Egypt today? Whose blood was shed so that we have that privilege of walking free and clear? That's a price that none of us could pay. In Psalms 112 and 4, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. And then dropping on down into verses 7 and 8, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desires upon his enemies. If we will take time to remember these events that are called out here in Psalms 114, where will our fear be? If you can remember and you keep it in your forefront of your brain what the Lord has done for you, not just in the deliverance from sin, but as he's helped you move forward, what are you afraid of? Not saying you won't have fear. Fear happens. I think of Christ in the garden. He prayed. But where was his strength? His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. He still went forward knowing what he had to face. Christ is that earnest of what we have to look forward to. Do we take the time to remember that with our children? I know we just went through Easter. And Easter is generally a time we really focus on that. But do we keep that going throughout the year? Or is it a once-a-time, annual, habitual remembrance? How much of the world celebrates Easter as well? How many of you all saw the pictures of people dressed up in bunny rabbit suits rolling eggs? What are they truly remembering? Are they really remembering Easter for what it was? That Christ willingly came down to be that Passover lamb for us? Died for us? I think I've mentioned it before, you know, when he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. If you think about the fact that he was willingly giving his life, they thought they were murdering him. They didn't understand what he was truly there for. Gives a whole different view of that, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He wasn't angry with them for taking his life. That was the price he came to pay. Proverbs 14 and 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. I would challenge all of us as we go throughout the remainder of this week, take time in your personal life to do a walk back through your history, your personal history with God. Look at where your confidence is at and where it should be. Remember. Remember what he's done for you. And then when you've remembered it, take time to share it with someone. Y'all pray for me.